Welcome to KSKQ 89.5, Ashland, Oregon. My name is Gary Wilson. The name of the show is Your Brain in the Cybersex Jungle. This show contains adult themes, so please warn the kids or get them out of the room. Disclaimer time, the Your Brain in the Cybersex Jungle show is informational only. It is not medical advice. If you need medical advice, please see your doctor. The central theme of the show is how internet pornography impacts young men, their experiences, and the science behind what they are experiencing. If you want to know more, you can visit www.yourbrainonporn.com. Lots of information there, many articles, video presentations, links to forums for support. It is a secular, commercial-free website. Today, we are going to look at two of the most common benefits described by guys who eliminate porn use. These are increased confidence and decreased social anxiety. Now, my show is really about what I call the other porn experiment. That is reports from hundreds of different websites in many different countries where guys are voluntarily giving up porn. As I've said in previous shows, a large percentage are stopping porn due to sexual problems such as erectile dysfunction or delayed ejaculation or morphing sexual taste. Now, many guys call this process rebooting, and that's a term we use on the website. Now, during this rebooting period, most drastically reduce masturbation or attempt to eliminate it entirely, but not all, of course. Now, eliminating masturbation for these guys is temporary, maybe about 90 days, maybe longer. So they have a reboot period of 90 days. Now, the truth is, some people take longer, especially those who have porn-induced ED and are young guys who started early on high-speed internet porn. Interesting enough, last week's show, I had sexologist Wendy Maltz on, and she mentioned how 12-step sex addiction groups traditionally have members stop masturbating for 90 days. Porn addiction, in my view, is not sex addiction, but that's another show. It's interesting also that guys who grew up using internet porn often find that they actually cannot masturbate without it. Masturbation and porn are completely intertwined in their brains. It's really a Pavlovian connection or response. These guys who are trying to unhook from porn have to stop masturbation also, because if they try to masturbate, they usually relapse back into porn. Anyhow, many of these guys who reboot are surprised by the positive effects that occur that they did not expect at all. Here's a quote from one of those many forums. Around 2008, 2009, people started surfacing on the internet who were freaked out that they had erectile dysfunction during sex, but at the same time could get a solid erection to varying degrees to extreme porn with the help of some good old death grip masturbation. The weird thing was thousands of people sometimes responded to these forum posts saying they had the same exact symptoms. Stopping masturbation to internet porn helped reverse the porn-induced ED. Besides normal libido, they reported other positive change. Depression and social anxiety going away, increased confidence, improved concentration, the feeling of fulfillment, and being on top of the world. I'm one of those guys. The amazing part is that a year before I tried giving up porn, I even went to see psychiatrists and psychologists who diagnosed me with severe social anxiety disorder and depression, and wanted to put me on antidepressants, which I never agreed to. When I went on the first no porn, no masturbation streak, about 80 days, I started noticing the benefits reported by others. Today, my 109th day of the streak, I feel happy, confident, social, smart, capable of meeting any challenges, etc., etc. Unquote. So that's a quote. As I said, two of the most common benefits reported when guys unhooked are less social anxiety and increased confidence. Now, what I want to do is discuss correlation versus cause before I jump into any of the possible mechanisms behind these benefits. if research finds that heavy porn use correlates with higher levels of social anxiety or erectile dysfunction, what does this tell us? Well, not much, really, because it wouldn't surprise anyone to find that guys with social anxiety or even ED use porn more than the so-called average guy. But unlike correlation studies, the participants in the other porn experiment are altering a single variable, masturbation to internet porn. In this experiment, we have thousands and thousands of guys from all sorts of social and ethnic backgrounds who were happily using porn for years, and few had any moral qualms about using it. But they had one variable in common: years of internet porn use. And they all eliminated that single variable, and they reported the results. That, my friends, is a true experiment. In fact, the only way to gather this information is to have guys stop using. And really, no studies have asked subjects to eliminate this single variable being examined, internet porn use. In addition, no studies have investigated the symptoms that go into remission or the benefits that these guys report. The bottom line is that this is not really a correlation study that's occurring. This is an experiment that isolates and manipulates a single variable. This may sound outrageous as an example, but imagine if a smoker with lung cancer quit smoking and his lung cancer was cured. Would that convince the tobacco companies? Probably not. But that's the level of evidence we are dealing with: elimination of a variable and measuring the effects. Now, if quitting doesn't help, then whether it's ED or social anxiety or concentration problems, then porn wasn't involved. This is an easy experiment to do at home, and no rats will be harmed. So what is the common thread that's going on here? In my opinion, it is dopamine. Although symptoms such as erectile dysfunction, social anxiety, lack of motivation, concentration problems, and depression seem to be quite different, they share a common finding in the scientific literature. All have been strongly associated with altered dopamine signaling in what's called the brain's reward circuitry. It's an ancient circuit deep in the brain that we share with all other mammals. We often hear about dopamine, if we have heard about it, as the pleasure or reward molecule, and actually, that's not really very accurate. It's best to think of dopamine as the motivation or seeking neurochemical. It's the go-get-it neurochemical. And it's essential for libido, risk-taking, motivation, focus, anticipation, cheerfulness, all those good things. Another way to put it is that low dopamine signaling is associated with diminished libido, which is might explain the sluggish erection some guys experience. It's also associated with decreased risk-taking and increased anxiety and social anxiety. Low dopamine is associated with the inability to focus, which can account for memory problems or concentration problems that these guys see. And low dopamine, again, is associated with lack of motivation or healthy anticipation. And finally, it plays a major role in depression. Or to state it more positively, which is the best way to state it, when dopamine and related neurochemicals are properly regulated, sexual attraction, socializing, concentration, and feelings of well-being are really quite effortless. I suspect that normal dopamine signaling really helps to explain why these guys report these improvements we discussed. Now, in the news just this last week, as a side, two groundbreaking studies found that dopamine is really the central player in depression. New technologies were employed that they could split second to second, manipulate dopamine in animals. They could turn depression on and off. Now, the old model was that serotonin, another neurochemical, was thought to be behind depression, low serotonin, but there were a lot of problems with that. If low serotonin was actually behind depression, then it wouldn't take a couple of months for serotonin-raising antidepressants to work, but it does. And these drugs would work in everyone, which they don't. And so studies have found that actually these antidepressants that they think raise serotonin work in a secondarily way to affect dopamine. So science moves on, a little side note. Let's get back to dopamine. One of the major changes in addicts' brains is called desensitization. This is a term that refers to a general dialing down of responsiveness to pleasure. It is caused specifically by a decline in dopamine and what are called dopamine D2 receptors. And I'll just call them dopamine receptors from here on out. Here's the basic concept is that all hormones and all neurochemicals do their magic by attaching to receptors on cells. So what occurs if you have fewer dopamine receptors? This means the brain cells, the brain is less sensitive to dopamine and dopamine can't do its job. And you actually crave more and more dopamine in essence. In the case of porn addiction, low dopamine and dopamine receptors could really account for a lot of these symptoms that the heavy porn users report. And as I said before, it's well established that low dopamine receptors play a role in fear and anxiety and social anxiety and lack of motivation. In fact, dopamine elevating drugs are often prescribed for social anxiety and ADHD, and they are often used off-label to increase libido or to work with depression. Now, this drives home the broader effects of dopamine signaling. Here's an experiment where they actually gave this young medical student a drug that depleted, wiped out his dopamine. So here's the quote. During increased dopamine depletion in this case, a range of subjective experiences appeared and disappeared consecutively. These experiences resembled negative symptoms such as loss of motivation, dulled senses, decreased fluency, lower mood, fatigue, brain fog, restlessness, feelings of fear and shame, OCD, and anxiety and depressive symptoms, unquote. So we can see that lowering someone's dopamine can have all sorts of symptoms depending on who they are. So here's the deal. Low dopamine and low dopamine receptors occur in all addictions, and they have been measured in internet addicts. And this is what I think plays a major role in the surprising benefits that the guys report. A few more points to round things out. The decline in dopamine receptors can happen really quite quickly. Within days, they've seen this in rats, not just using drugs, but actually overeating on junk food. The dopamine receptors went down quite quickly. Now, research also shows that this desensitization, low dopamine signaling, can occur without other addiction-related brain changes. In other words, you can knock out your dopamine receptors without becoming an addict. Now, this is a very important point, and I'll repeat it. You don't need to be an addict to experience a decline in dopamine receptors. Now, I think this relates to why a lot of guys who are not fully addicted see benefits within a few days of quitting. And for others who are addicted, it takes weeks to months before they see benefits. So I suspect that users often get their mojo back quickly. They do so because they restore their dopamine receptors before addiction sets in. Here's a real key variable. In some brains, porn use has to also alter more than just the usual addiction pathways seen in other addiction. Because it's striking how frequently young porn addicts report chronic sexual dysfunction or low desire for real partners. And, of course, these reverse themselves when they recover. So my question is, could porn addiction, because it hijacks sexuality in a sense, have the power to interfere with the brain circuits that govern normal mating and courting behavior? And could altering the sexual centers of the brain help explain a decline in confidence or social anxiety or wanting to chase women? Here's a quote. I've been watching porn for so long that it had completely taken over my sexuality. Without it, I was essentially asexual. I wanted to build up a new sense of sexuality, one centered around real women, and completely detached from porn. It worked. My attraction to real women was magnified to levels it had never reached before. Unquote. You don't see changes like this when someone quits smoking, so it's clear that something more is going on here, and I believe it involves deeper structures of the brain that govern male sexual behaviors. So to summarize, recovering from porn addiction-related brain changes, especially increased dopamine receptors, as well as perhaps increasing the functioning of the frontal cortex, could help explain both the short-term and long-term benefits that guys experience. And renewed sexual functioning and interest point to male sexual centers having also been affected. This brings up monkeys. What can monkeys tell us about dopamine and confidence? Studies show that dominant monkeys have higher dopamine receptor levels than submissive monkeys. And these levels are fluid. They're very changeable. They're not set. All monkeys have pretty much the same levels of dopamine receptors until you throw them together in a cage. After considerable monkey business and probably biting and scratching and screaming at each other, a hierarchy is established and the dominant males emerge and the submissive males sort of settle themselves down, as monkeys are tend to do. But here's the deal. It's not the submissive monkeys that have lower dopamine receptors. It's the dominant primates that see a jump in their dopamine receptors. In effect, they grow more sensitive to the dopamine in their brain. They are being rewarded for being a dominant male. In essence, being an alpha male simply feels better, so that's why they fight and scratch to become dominant. Of course, it's also so that they can get the females, but that's another story. What about humans? Well, they have done studies and increased social status and increased social support correlate with higher levels of dopamine receptors. So I guess that's why some guys want to be alpha males or be the star of the football team. A key point is that dopamine receptors are not set. They're not innate. They change with circumstance. This permits new males to rise to the occasion when the troop leader disappears or needs to be dethroned. So a newbie's receptor levels rise when he assumes a throne. Now he's feeling great about himself. Baseline levels of dopamine receptors cannot predict which primates will become dominant. That's another key point. Given that all addictions cause a decline in dopamine receptors, might porn addiction be keeping some heavy users feeling less alpha than normal? In monkeys, long-term cocaine use brought all the test subjects to similar dopamine receptor levels and wiped out the status differences. That is, overconsumption crashed all monkeys equally, even the dominant ones. Dopamine receptors, they have found, are protective against addiction. In other words, dominant male monkeys with higher dopamine receptors are less likely to use cocaine. This protective effect of higher dopamine receptors has actually been duplicated in human studies. Here's the point. Can we rule out the possibility that heavy porn use at a young age leads to a cycle of lower dopamine receptors, followed by increased use because you're craving more, that's called tolerance, and then further decline of dopamine receptors, then further cravings, then further use, and so on and so forth. So by the time you hit age 18 and you're ready to start fooling around, maybe the real thing isn't so exciting, or maybe you feel less confident or more anxious. Something else to ponder. Could it be that ex-porn users who tear themselves away from their screens and socialize spur an increase in dopamine receptors? Socializing may do that. So that's a good thing to do. That gives them a dopamine buzz. So they do more socializing and they grow more dopamine receptors and they start feeling better about themselves. Or does the willingness to take social risks and get yourself out there and meet women or join a club, does that increase dopamine receptors? These are just questions. Another thing to note, not all monkeys recover from the effects of addiction in the same time frame. For example, in the experiments where they got them addicted to cocaine, after 3 months of abstinence, 60% of the addicted monkeys had recovered their normal dopamine receptor levels. However, 40% had not. This may explain the variable rate of recovery and reported benefits when guys quit. But again, guys are using porn. They're not using cocaine, so we can't necessarily make that correlation. One thing I'd like to talk about now is testosterone. On many of the forums that I visit, when guys quit and they start to experience more confidence, less anxiety, wanting to get out there in the world, they say, oh, my testosterone's higher. That explains it. No, that's not the case. They logically assume that blood testosterone levels must somehow be involved with the benefits they experience, but it is not. Here's what experiments actually show, is that blood testosterone levels are not significantly altered by ejaculation or abstinence. In fact, except for a one-day spike around day 7 after stopping, there are no significant changes. Now, there's an abstract that is often cited on forums. I'm going to give you the name of the study. It's called Endocrine Response to Masturbation-Induced Orgasm in Healthy Men Following a 3-Week Sexual Abstinence. That's a mouthful, isn't it? But the study is often cited that after 3 weeks, men experience an increase in testosterone. But when you look at the full study and look at the graphs, it shows that this is not the case. In fact, it shows the opposite, that testosterone levels were the same in the pre-abstinent group as they were in the post-abstinent, 3-week abstinent group. No changes. And no other studies show any changes either. And neither do guys who get their testosterone checked who have erectile dysfunction. Their testosterone levels are just fine. So this is a myth that actually needs to die. The real changes are going on in the brain. In fact, what's going on in the brain is very interesting. We think testosterone makes us manly, but in fact, testosterone goes to the brain, attaches to testosterone receptors, and how does it make you horny or give you more libido or more motivation? It causes an increase in dopamine. Yes, testosterone attaches to testosterone receptors in the reward circuitry and increases dopamine, and that gives you the want to go get it, go after it, chase it feelings, the feelings of, ugh. Anyhow, the bottom line is testosterone, circulating testosterone, gives us motivation by acting through dopamine. And if you do have addiction-related brain changes and your dopamine receptors are low and your dopamine is low, testosterone really cannot have a big effect. So here we are, back to the reward circuitry, back to the brain, and back to dopamine. Look to the brain, don't look to the blood for these changes. However, a lot of things could happen in the blood. There may be unidentified circulating hormones that are also affected by addiction that may be altered. No one knows. No one's really looked at all the hundreds of hormones that could be affected. So I want to leave us with a quote from another guy who, this actually comes yesterday, someone put this on my site. I took the decision to put an end to my PMO addiction for a number of reasons, but curing my social anxiety wasn't one of them. To be honest, I didn't even know there was a connection between masturbating to porn and my social anxiety. I just considered myself an introverted person and was fine with that. However, lurking on this board, I noticed many posts about confidence boosts guys got after a few days or a few weeks of abstinence. This weekend, I went snowboarding. While in an aerial tramway, I noticed a pretty girl. While snowboarding down the slope, I saw her stop, and I just stopped near her and said hi, asked her her name, and had a nice 5-minute conversation. I never, ever, ever did something like this before. Talking to a random girl has been impossible for me until now. The funny thing was, I wasn't feeling anxious at all.